So today on the Avalon Show, we'll be discussing with Bonnie Brighton from the Disabled Women's Network. That's correct, Bonnie?
Yes, the Disabled Women's Network of Canada.
I'm getting better now, eh?
Yeah. If you want our name in French.
Yeah, so like that. I'm getting much more better now.
You are.
Yeah, so like that. And then we're going to be starting to talk about Ashley Smith and then like this. So what's news happening? Like we know at the beginning is that Ashley Smith she turned around and one day has a mental illness. And she struck a postal worker with throwing crab apples and sent to a couple prisons. And what happened is at the last prison, she should not have been in a prison, and she should have been in some type of institution where God service to help her. And
the question of where Ashley Smith belonged instead of in the federal prison is sort of the overarching question, I think, for women with disabilities. Certainly, Stefan, and
yeah.
I really appreciate you taking some time on today's show to look at not just the Ashley Smith case, but the larger question of why we continue to criminalize women with disabilities when we don't support them.
And another thing, like my thing too, is thinking about these three women, and especially Ashley Smith, is like, what's wrong with her penis suit? Thing like that.
It's something that I think starts before the prison system. And of course, what we know is that in December there was finally a verdict of murder in the case of Ashley Smith, but with no one named and no one being convicted for her murder.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is problematic, of course, because if the coroner's report has concluded that Ashley Smith was murdered, then why wouldn't we want to pursue fully, to the extent of the law and to the extent that any judicial system in Canada should, to prosecute the people responsible for her death and to ask ourselves, indeed, who is responsible for the death of Ashley Smith, because it does go beyond those prison walls. It goes right back to a societal problem that we know exists, Stefan, which is, of course, that women with disabilities, particularly women with mental health problems, intellectual disabilities, and brain-injured women, are overrepresented in our prison systems and overrepresented in general in the context of being criminalized because they are not being supported by a society that owes them that support.
And no, it's another thing is support there and all that. You know, for I'm talking from my organization, the Montreal West, that Readaptation Center is trying to get money and all this to help people out, like with autism or all kinds of disabilities. And the government does not give much money for them to, like WMRC's waiting list is like over their head of people trying to get in there. And there's not much services out there.
Well, since the Ashley Smith case, there's been two other stories that have been in
the media that
many of your listeners may be familiar with. One of them was one that was a little bit earlier this year and involved a young woman and her mother. Brenda Hardiman is the mother of Nichelle Benn. Nichelle Benn is a young woman with an intellectual disability who's being charged with assault with a weapon. It says here, police allege Benn bit and hit an employee with a foam letter and a shoe at the Quest Regional Rehabilitation Center in Halifax on December 12th. And while that may be true, of course, the underlying question is, what was the precursor to her striking or her biting this person? What happened before that? And the reality is that our systems, none of them, whether we're talking about the social systems or social justice or justice systems, are adequately informed or educated to even understand how to ask those questions or to investigate a situation like this. You know, at first glance, when you look at that, you know, the first thing that, of course, occurs to me is that we're not talking about something highly criminal here. Again, we're talking about And I do understand, you know, the concern around the safety of people who work in the healthcare system. It's not that I don't understand and respect that, but it's important to understand that what that is linked to is a lack of training and education for the people who are working or supposed to be working in support of people like Ashley and, you know, people like the other young lady, Ms. Ben, Nichelle. And, you know, there's another story that, broke just in February, just a few days ago, Stefan, again involving a woman with an intellectual disability in Nova Scotia by the name of Amanda Murphy, who is now also facing charges. Again, based on the fact that she's been charged with striking a worker in the group home where she lived. Now, I can tell you, Stefan, that I know of instances of group homes in, you know, other parts of this country that have been closed because of the abuses that people who were supposedly under the care of caregivers in these group homes that instead were abusing them. In one very egregious case, three women with disabilities, intellectual disabilities, who were being sexually assaulted on a daily basis over a period of more than 20 years before the group home was investigated and eventually shut down. So what are we really talking about? I would say what we're really talking about is, as I said, a systemic failure vis-a-vis how women with disabilities are not being supported at the community level on a fundamental basis for their basic needs.
Yeah, it's so like another thing, too, also, too, is that people with disability, like those people bit people like that, I don't think they understood what they did, you know?
Well, again, when you read about the woman, the most recent case, this woman is a woman with an intellectual disability who functions at about an 8-year-old's level. So again, in terms of what kind of supports does she need, she needs care workers and caregivers who understand what her limitations are and therefore would not be putting her in a position of, you know, the kind of agitation that would cause her to, you know, in this case, assault, bite, or do something like that. You know, if you look at closely at the Nichelle case, what you end up hearing is that there's a specific instance where there's a worker who's on shift where there's no incidents with her because that particular worker has the right level of empathy and understanding to know how to work with Nichelle when she's distressed. If you listen to her mother and you listen to other people who have provided care and support to her, you begin to understand that the change and the criminalization of Nichelle happens when she moves into a congregated living situation where her individual needs are not being met. You know, and again, when you talk about these other two women, you're again talking about congregated living where people's individual needs are not being understood or met, where instead what we're talking about is providing the minimal level of support that, you know, really it's laughable to call it support because it's really just whether you're talking about an institution that's called a prison or institutional housing for people with disabilities, particularly people with intellectual or mental health problems, is that you're just setting up a situation like this to happen, and then you're re-victimizing this person who's already not been supported and then criminalizing them.
Yeah, criminalizing them, like, which they didn't know what they were doing, like, you know.
But you're holding them responsible instead of the system that's failed them responsible. And you know, coming full circle back to the Ashley Smith decision, what we have here is a verdict which, while gratifying to hear, doesn't bring Ashley back to her family. And, you know, and still leaves us with many questions about what will happen going forward to the next person. And, of course, you don't even have to wait more than a month for this story to break about this woman, Nichelle, and then the woman that I just mentioned, Amanda Murphy. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, a need for huge, like a sea change in terms of policy as far as what we understand and what we know needs to happen. National disability organizations and community disability organizations such as People First, DOD, and Canadian Association for Community Living have been advocating a very long time for that fundamental systemic change to happen. And what that's about is about the full inclusion of people with disabilities in society, not this notion of separateness and difference, but instead understanding and supporting those needs. And you know, it really, like I said, it comes back to if you have the supports that you need as a family and as an individual, then, you know, your likelihood of not of ending up, you know, in a positive place in society as opposed to in a situation of victimization, it's the difference. It's the game changer.
So the thing is strange, too, is like the person, the girl bit the person there. They didn't turn around and like ask, like, why did this person did they, like, why did she bite her, you know?
Well, you know, the question of why she bit her or any of those things, you know, are really, you know, as
did
I said,
they,
you can
they
get into the details
that?
Of why she bit, but really what you need to look at is what kind of a living situation is she in,
yeah.
that she's gone from not having any criminal, quote-unquote criminal behavior to suddenly finding that she's, you know, through moving into into a group home setting, she suddenly become criminalized.
Yeah,
that's got nothing to do with her. That's got everything
that's
to do with the support surrounding this person. It's so clear.
Like me, I think it's more the group home is, and there's something wrong with that group home. And
well, I was going to say I'm not going to blame this particular group home. What I'm going to come back to is a systemic problem, problem that goes beyond just that particular group home, to the idea that you need to have people working with people with disabilities who understand how to support them. You know, and it's about support. And, you know, that's the key word, not control, support.
Yeah, support,
you know, what was happening just before that, if you listen to the story from from the mother and from Nichelle, just before she bit this person, she was being dragged down the hallway.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, she was frightened. She, you know, reacted badly because she was afraid of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of Ashley Smith, you know, something, as you said, that started with her throwing an apple at a postal worker has gone, you know, went from that to, again, you know, her going into the prison system without there being a diagnosis, proper supports for her. And then, of course, we know from there all of the other terrible things that happened to her before she was left to die.
Yeah, and what's going to happen with these two other girls there, which...
Well, that's exactly it. Are we looking again at, are we going to put Nichelle in prison now? Are we going to put this other woman in prison and then hope for the best?
And it could be worse than her, something like that. And it's not...
Well, you know, you can see with Nichelle and with her mother that their greatest fear is that she will end up in the prison system.
Yeah.
And another victim like Ashley. Because, you know, the victim here is Ashley. The victim here is Nichelle.
Yeah.
I am not trying to discount that the worker who received the bite or the other worker mentioned who was slapped are not victims also, but they're not victims of these individual women. They are also victims of
and
a system that is broken and not working.
Another thing, too, a bite or a slap like that, to throw them in prison is kind of ridiculous. Why not they
it's
go
not
after?
A response, Stefan,
you
right?
know,
it's
these,
not a response.
We got
it's not
all.
Going to fix
we got
anything.
All these other people are doing fraud and things like that. Are doing so much things and getting slapped in the wrist there, and like to turn around and you know, a person doesn't understand what they did. You know, it's ridiculous. You know,
that's right.
And like that, yeah.
So. You know, in terms of what work Dawn is doing, I will say that Dawn have been working very actively with a number of other organizations, including the Canadian Association for Community Living, and including the Department of Justice in terms of moving forward. You know, we're very committed to the idea of working with the Department of Justice, including the national body, and of course across the country through our partners and the other organizations that we work with, towards the idea that what we need to do is to start building at the community level the kind of supports that Nichelle needs, that Amanda needs, and that of course that Ashley needed
and
at
actually,
the time.
And actually, like some audits or somebody, like, you know, like restaurants, we got... Somebody's going to check out the restaurant is giving us good food. You know, it would be good if there's people go in and check these people are getting taken care right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's treated right. You know, it's like these people, they can't fight and say, oh, this guy is dragging me, you know, and then
well,
like that.
You know, imagine how difficult it must be for Nichelle's mother.
Yeah.
To have to, on top of trying to support her daughter, feel like she has to take on the judicial system of Nova Scotia, the court system. Because the court system is another important place where things must change. We must have judges who, when they find themselves with somebody like Nichelle in front of them, or Ashley, that says, okay, hold on just a second. How does this person end up in front of me? You know, not just looking simply at the complaint, but at the reality of the person that they find in front of them. And to ask themselves before pronouncing sentence, before making any kind of a judgment, if you will, what are the you know, the preconditions that bring this person before me? What are they, and who's responsible for that? You know, are we talking about an individual, or are we talking about a societal issue? And we know for certain, based on all the statistics that have been collected, of course, Stefan, that people with disabilities are victims much more than they are criminals. It's not to say, and I'm absolutely not trying to say that it's not possible for somebody who is a person with a disability to be a criminal, of course. But, you know, we're talking fundamentally about a system that instead is criminalizing people who are victims.
And the victims.
That's where, the big change has to come, the big change.
Oh, yeah. So, Bonnie, I want to thank you so much and like that.
Well, thank you for lending me vent on this one, because it's one that, as
really
the executive director of DAWN, and maybe as this a woman with a disability, I'm so distressed about, because I feel like every woman with a disability must feel that she has to look over her shoulder at any time when she's interacting with people around whether or not she will be recognized as a victim situation, or indeed, be accused of the crime.
We're lucky we have people like you, Bonnie, to look after these people and like that. And
I think people are lucky. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners, Stefan. Anytime, I'm always happy to share with you and to talk with you. I appreciate very much the support from Avalanche and CKUT.
Yeah, no problem. So like that.
Right.
So thanks a lot, Bonnie, and like that. And
talk again soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right, Stefan. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.